So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Governor Tony Evers is completing his first year as governor. He's a Democrat, looking forward to the next year, and Wisconsinite is very happy that in the governor's conference room, he's agreed to a year-end interview. Thank you, sir.
Good to see you again, Steve.
Well, you started out as a science teacher. Yeah. You're an advocate for classroom teachers. Yeah. What grade would you give your first year?
Oh, incomplete.
Incomplete?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I was always a tough grader. But the important thing is, people, and I believe most people understand this, you don't accomplish everything you want to accomplish in 1 year when you have four to do it. So, yes, incomplete. We had a good budget. I thought we hit some high notes there on education and healthcare and transportation, not nearly the way we should have and could have. But I think we made some good progress, so I'll give an incomplete, but we have a long way to go on a lot of issues, frankly.
Thank you. Biggest single accomplishment, more money for K-12, transportation funding?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so you hit the nail on the head. Those two, certainly, we set a high bar in both areas, and the legislature didn't quite get there, but we got another, half a billion dollars for our public schools and significantly more for transportation, both issues that were high on people's wish lists. And so I thought it was a good compromise, frankly.
As you talk about public schools, the Policy Forum just came out with that report that school levies are the highest in a decade.
Right.
Now, is that playing catch up, or is that a reflection of the referendum, sir?
I think it's both. The referendums are a result of catch-up. When the legislature and the former governor really constrained spending and constrained the schools in a lot of different ways, so there's some catch-up going on. But then because of that, districts were forced into doing referenda. And so now we're seeing the result of that. And so we shouldn't be surprised.
Do you think there'll be any pushback from taxpayers? Because that, in some cases, may be the biggest increase they've seen in 5 or 6 years.
Possibly, but I think people support their schools. They're passing referendums at huge numbers, percentage-wise, and huge numbers in passing those referendums. So, people, when they vote on that, they're voting knowing full well that there's going to be some increased spending going on in those school districts, or they wouldn't be doing it. And so I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprise, but I think going forward, the legislature and I both have to realize that the state can't just rest on its laurels from this last budget. We need to move forward.
In his year-end news press conference, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald talked about a tax cut potentially in the spring session. Was that news to you, and can the state afford it, sir?
Well, the answer was it didn't surprise me, because that's, first of all, he's running for Congress,
yes.
and second of all, any time a Republican sees money that may be there, they're going to want to lower taxes, and that's a reasonable place to be. But I don't think we're going to know by spring what the numbers are. And frankly, let's handle it maybe in a different way. If there's additional money in the next budget, let's increase funding for special education. That's a huge expense for school districts. If they want to drive down costs, one of the ways is to make sure that schools are adequately funded. Same way with the university, too.
Is that the biggest need for our K-12, more funding of special ed?
Absolutely. It continues to be. Certainly, mental health issues kind of, come off of that. But those two areas, I think, are important. And we know the costs on that need to be picked up by the state government. It's an extraordinarily large amount of money. So we'll continue to work to fund that better.
The school safety grants totaled, when what's already been spent and what's committed, more than $96 million. Was that a good investment, or do we need now a phase two of school safety grants?
Well, I think we need a phase two, but that needs to be focused not on making schools more prison-like, frankly. I think it has to be focused on other issues that help teachers understand issues around mental health. I think if the focus shifts to services around mental health, school mental health, I think that would be of great help. I don't think we need to harden the schools any more than they are now.
The What realistically is the next step on mental health, especially for students, Governor? Yeah.
Well, we have to, I mean, realistic, that's a great question, because right now a lot of mental health issues weaknesses are driven by the fact that we don't have enough mental health professionals in our schools. So we have to create that. We have to create that group of people that that we have small numbers in, and I think we can do that. But in turn, we have to look at things more holistically and making sure that teachers have the preparation they need to deal with mental health issues. Maybe there's things we can do around telehealth, but we have to look at it globally. But I think we've underestimated the number of kids with mental health issues in our schools. I think it's much more than what we anticipated, and that kind of bleeds into the issue of behavioral health. And so we need help, you know, and we can't dump it all on the classroom teacher either. So we are going to need help in a lot of different ways going forward.
What are your thoughts on potential price tags for the mental health? Do we need, we spent $96 million hardening our schools. Do we need to spend more than that on some of these mental health issues?
I think there's a starting point. If you think of kind of gearing up our universities and technical colleges to make sure that people are prepared, that's going to take some money. Frankly, I think we're going to have to incentivize opportunities for young people and others to get into the field. But in turn, we also need to look at things that may be different as it relates to, you know, telehealth, things like that. But schools, if I hear anything consistently, it's the issue around mental health services and behavioral health services.
Do we have in the pipeline the next generation of teachers, Governor, as a former superintendent of public instruction?
No.
As our veteran teachers retire?
No.
Is that a crisis 4 or 5 years out?
You bet. And that's why, you know, yes, do we need more resources for our schools? Do we need to pay teachers more? The answer is yes. But what our teachers need is, frankly, some respect, and that is something we can do almost for free. And so I believe when politicians talk about schools and school failings and so on and so forth, yes, there's blame to go around, but to continue to point it at the classroom teacher is not very helpful. And we've done some damage there. We have to continue to improve that.
What's your first year in office? Biggest disappointment, sir?
I'd say two. I'll give you two. The lame duck session was certainly a disappointment.
Did that poison the well for your first term?
It didn't help. I mean, I wouldn't say it poisoned the well. That makes it sound terminal. Yeah. But I believe that, yes, it didn't help. I mean, you think about it, all the things that they did in the lame duck session. Why didn't they do that when Scott Walker was governor? If these are such important issues for the legislature to take control, Walker was in for 8 years. Why wait till Walker is walking out the door to pass that? So there is nothing but a political gambit, and they won, at least at this point in time. But then also, I would say, and that didn't help us starting in the right way.
Right.
But the issue around my cabinet secretaries is a big issue for me. Yes. I think it's a big issue for state government. We have to have people that have been approved by the Senate. And we haven't gotten that done yet. In fact, we had one of ours fired by the Senate, which was a ridiculous thing, decision on their part. We had somebody that was completely qualified. So those two things bother me the most, and the lame duck session I can do nothing about. It's done, being fought in the courts. This thing we can. I mean, please, just get it done. These are quality people that have been doing it for almost a year now. Let's have that happen.
You were very surprised and very angry at the dismissal of Mr. Pfaff.
Yeah.
Are you now sensing that some others could equally be dismissed by the Senate, sir?
Well, that's what Senator Fitzgerald mentioned. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know, but let's just get it on instead of playing these games. All of them are capable, even the ones that he mentioned as possibilities. I haven't heard anything recently that would lead me to believe that others are going to be thrown out of office, but let's just get it done. Come on, folks.
Are you considering naming some of your cabinet secretaries interim so they are not subject to, like your ag secretary, to Senate confirmation?
Well, we're going to name
one. Do you have
any options? We're interviewing people as we speak, and that person will be a designee. Whoever we pick now is going to be the secretary designee, and that person will have to go through the same rigmarole. I just hope that we're able to get this done.
One other change, it was just signed by President Trump in the federal funding bill. Mm-hmm. 21 years old to buy tobacco products. Do you support that?
Well, I think it's a possibility. What drives me nuts is it's connected to vaping.
Yes.
And I think we're giving the vaping industry a pass by doing this, by saying 21-year-old, you can't buy this stuff, either vaping or regular tobacco. That is giving them a pass. I think we need to have a serious conversation about vaping. And if it becomes 21, essentially they won. There's a reason we saw full page ads in the Madison papers and other papers saying from the vaping industry saying 21 years old. You know, essentially they're saying 21 years old and give us a pass. No, we need to have a conversation around vaping, period, outside of that.
The Sackler family, which is related, of course, to Purdue Pharma, mm-hmm. they signed an agreement to pay Oklahoma $270 million. If however this lawsuit is resolved and Wisconsin was in line for $200 million as a result of or from Purdue Pharma, mm-hmm. how should that money be spent, Governor?
Well, I think it should be spent in the area that's costing us, and that is issues around opioid addictions and the costs that are involved with that. You know, those costs just aren't to the people that are suffering from addiction. It was a central Wisconsin county a few years ago where they put like 200 kids in foster homes because of their parents being opioid addicted. Those parents are in a world of hurt. They need help, but the kids are going to a different school. You have to have more social workers to do that placement. You have to have more foster care. It is a cascading of costs, and I think that money should be used primarily for that.
The Attorney General has not signed on to that agreement. Has he asked you what a reasonable settlement would be from the Sackler family now that the New York Times reports they took $10 billion out?
Right. Well, the answer is no, we haven't talked about it, what a final figure are. He's always kept us briefing on what he's going to do, and I support him on that. And from what I understand, just reading the newspaper, I think it was the right thing to do because there's other facts out there that may actually help our cause.
You declared this the year of clean water. Since then, we've had new nitrate readings and PFAS showing up everywhere. What, as you end your first year in office, how great are your concerns about clean water? Are they much higher than when you took office, sir?
They were high before and they're higher now. Clearly, PFAS are an issue, and it's discouraging me that when people on the other side that don't want any, you know, are just anti-regulation, push back right away saying, well, we don't know it's PFAS. Well, okay, then you have your own kids drink PFAS and see how it works. I think this is a defining moment for us as a state, whether it's nitrates, whether it's PFAS, whether it's phosphorus, you name it. We have lots of issues around water, and I'm more than willing to find good ways to solve that problem and making sure that our farmers aren't asked to do some things that they can't afford. The state may need to step in and help them in different farming practices. But what I don't accept, frankly, is the pushback immediately on, you know, DNR rules or other rules that say, oh no, we don't want any regulation. That is a non-starter. And we can talk about reasonable regulations, but none. When the option is, well, let's not have regulations and let's have people drink water that's not clean, that's not an option. That's just not an option. We as a state have to get excited about this, and we can find reasonable solutions. But the answer to say that no, we're not going to do anything, wrong answer.
When I interviewed Secretary Paff, he said that the rule that's so controversial had not been updated in 13 or 14 years. Do you hope that the Department of Ag and the Ag Board continue to push forward on new rules on that issue, Governor?
Well, we certainly have to do something. I mean, that, you know, those rules may have been inadequate in a whole number of ways. Clearly, I've heard from one side that say they weren't enough, and clearly from the other side that said we shouldn't be doing anything different. That's all that's a non-starter. Our Department of Agriculture, our Department of Natural Resources, the governor's office, other agencies should be working together with stakeholders to come up with good solutions. But we have to start from a basic premise. We want clean water. Then we have a better place to start. If everybody agrees on that, then we can start talking.
In his year interview with me, Speaker Voss told me that the recommendations of his task force will be coming forth soon. Is your administration aware of what the task force is going to be recommending, and will it be joint recommendations, sir?
Well, I'm hopeful. I mean, if they're a step in the right direction, I'm with them. If it's going to be now where we have to protect X or Y or Z, and neither of those is clean water and human beings that are drinking it, that'd be a problem. But from what I understand, it is going to be a step forward, so I'm hopeful it is, and I'm hoping I'm able
to. Have you heard any price tags, sir?
That I have not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Is clean water your top priority for 2020?
Well, certainly that, and redistricting and criminal justice reform, all three of those are top priorities.
Will you be campaigning on the issue of Medicaid expansion and gun safety prior to the November elections against legislators who refuse to consider your recommendations?
Well, whether it's against legislators or not, yes, I still think Medicaid expansion is clearly a smart thing for the state. Three more Republican states passed it just recently, and so I expect to continue talking about that. Issues around guns, yes, I think universal background checks are important things, and they're not going to be taking people's guns away and so on and so forth, but clearly the legislature isn't going to go down that road, but it's still something I believe in. I'll talk about it.
Why do you think you got such a rough reception over the last year from Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald?
Well, certainly they'll blame me. I get it. But the bottom line is they don't agree with my policies. You know, they talked about, you know, this Kumbaya stuff they had with Governor Walker. Well, Governor Walker was a Republican governor. I'm a Democratic governor. And maybe that means we need to look at things a little differently than it was in the past. I'm more than willing to meet with them and do what we can to bring people together on some important issues, and so we'll continue to work on it.
In terms of relationship with those two legislative leaders, do you plan to meet more often in 2020 with them?
We'll continue to. I mean, there have been times when we've tried to set up meetings and it hasn't happened because of the calendars and so on. We'll still meet with them, absolutely.
As the leader of your party in Wisconsin, how do you feel about the evolving and ever-changing number of Democratic presidential candidates? Is it good that we're down to the last debate was seven?
No, to me it doesn't matter. I ran with 19 people, I think, 19 others, and I just think Big Tent's good. I think it brings out good ideas and good thoughts and tests candidates. It can be 20. I don't care. What I do care is that I think whoever the final candidate is someone that is pragmatic and can tell people how they're going to get things done. I think that's really important.
Do you plan to endorse before the April primary?
No.
You will not?
No.
Why?
I want every candidate to come through Wisconsin, every single one of them, and show what they're worth. I think it's important.
Okay. What's at stake in the presidential election in 2020, Governor?
Lots of things. I'm hopeful that this election will be one where we find a candidate, and I think it'll be on the Democratic side that can really calm everybody down and have a situation where people begin to get along a little better with each other instead of the high rhetoric that exists now. I think that'd be good for the country.
Final question. Trump administration policies, have they hurt Wisconsin over the last 3 years?
His policies and his actions, and there's a difference. I'll use actions as an example. His tweeting around trade issues hurts Wisconsin. I mean, people start making business decisions based on tweets. That's a problem. So, yes, I think his policies and his actions, and especially his actions, are things that hurt our state.
All right, time's up. Governor Tony Evers, thanks very much
for
your
time. Good to see you. Thanks a lot, Steve.
My best to your family.
Yep, same to you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the holidays.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.